The way I remember it, things started unraveling at Ralph Medina's funeral. Alex started crying then, and his tears eventually washed over all my suppositions about my husband and my marriage, and about ordinary life as I'd understood it. At the memorial service, everyone cried. All the women, of course, but the men, too. 5 days earlier, a truck carrying oranges from the Central Valley to the local Safeway spun out of control on a rain-slick street, and Ralph was killed instantly. His two little girls, aged 8 and 11, spent weeks in the hospital. I wondered what life would be like for them if their injuries never healed right. What it would be like to grow up with a permanent limp or a ragged white scar running down one of those beautiful cheeks. The weather had turned cool and sunny for the memorial service, and the coastal hills were still green. At first, Alex didn't cry. "It's strange," he whispered as we filed into the empty pew in the middle of the chapel, "being here with all these people you know from some committee to improve street lighting, neighbors you talk to online in the hardware store on Saturday morning. Ralph had so much to live for. It's hard to believe he's really dead." I put my hand on his arm and whispered to him, "Oh, those poor girls losing a father. And Angie. We're so lucky. It's a good thing, I guess, that we all don't know when it's going to be our time." My eyes stung. My nose began to drip. I leaned over and gripped his hand. "One minute you're just standing there, and the next, bam." And then Alex cried. Quietly, just for a little while. Right along with everyone else. "Poor Ralph, taken by surprise like that. Didn't have any warning," he whispered hoarsely. His voice and his manner were so strange, as though he felt personally guilty about not telling Ralph that his life was in danger. I put that thought out of my mind and started worrying about Angie Medina. She and Ralph had been poring over brochures for a summer camping trip to the Tetons. Now she had only empty evenings in that house, wandering from room to room in search of a husband who would never go anywhere with her again. I didn't catch the real meaning behind Alex's words until months later. When I did think about it, I assumed that Alex was just on an emotional edge, teetering and unsettled over the situation at work. It was no secret that his team's petroleum explorations might mean a partnership for him. He'd been preparing for that for 16 years, maybe from the very first day of graduate school, certainly since he returned from the field trip for United Geotechnologies, on which 3 of the new geologists earned the title Wilbur's Wonders. Actually, there were 4 of them at first. They'd been a team in graduate school: Alex, George Stoddard, Dick Maselli, and Danny Forsyth. They spent so much time studying at our cramped married student's apartment, I even fell a little bit in love with dark-eyed, quixotic Danny for a few weeks. Shared 2 sweet, furtive kisses when we volunteered to get jelly donuts and coffee to fuel a late-night cram session. Those kisses made me so afraid I'd do something to jeopardize my marriage. I made myself fall out of love with Danny and never let myself be alone with him again. They were among the 9 men, in those days there were no women on staff, hired when the company expanded. Charlie Wilbur must have told them 50 times that he expected them to do wonders for United Geo, and the name stuck, Wilbur's Wonders. They spent from summer into the late, almost snowy fall together, first in the sharp peaks of the Tetons and later at Nevada's echo-filled Paradise Mountain. Beery and grubby, they dug around extracting samples, trying to coax out the Earth's secrets. Poor Danny never made it back. In the very last week of the trip, the ledge on which Danny was standing gave way. He fell hundreds of feet to his death. When I heard the news, I cried for days, trying to drown the feeling that his death was some form of divine punishment for those stolen kisses. Eventually, my good sense won out. It had been an accident caused by bad judgment, nothing more.